Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, there is quite a bit of news, actually. Most of it's not good this week in the world of professional wrestling. I wanted to start with the injury update because things just keep growing and growing and growing and really getting a little bit out of hand. If you want to count the people who are either injured or sick, the WWE has really suffered. We obviously have Randy Orton out injured. We obviously have Kevin Owens out injured. We have Liv Morgan out injured. We now have Sonya Deville out injured. Word, of course, Bray Wyatt has been out a long time, injured. We don't know if Big E is ever going to return. I'm being told there's more that you haven't seen in a while, that they just haven't officially declared injured, but they are. And, of course, Bray Wyatt. And now we hear Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, apparently, what we saw on Monday night, and if you remember, during the Monday Night Raw report, I said Sami Zayn's elbow looks legit. He came back out later, but it looked legit. Well, it is legit. Sami Zayn has some kind of bursitis or something in his elbow that could potentially keep him out of actual in-ring action for a little while. And this is just mounting. Rick Boogs just barely got back. We saw him in the Battle Royal. We don't have any idea where Elias is. If he's injured, he's not injured. And several other people who we really have no idea about. This is not good, obviously, for the WWE. That's a lot of people. And it puts them in a critical position because if you're going to take away the tag team titles from Sonya Deville for being injured with Chelsea Green, it's going to be hard for you to justify not taking them away from Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Now, granted, Sonya Deville may be out a much longer period of time. But from what I'm hearing, Kevin Owens will probably be out for the 30 days minimum. And Sami Zayn is, we don't know. We don't know exactly. So at some point, you're going to have to address the issue of, are you going to treat the men the same as the women, because you know that's going to come up. You know that's going to come up. The WWE is very resistant to the idea of stripping Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. It's not what they had planned. They don't want to do it, and they're steadfastly trying to not do it. But at the same token, folks, it's pretty hard to say, well, you know, there's a 30-day rule or whatever, and then just not apply it to your other tag team champion. So they may have to do some fancy footwork in order to explain this. What we have learned, however, is that Bray Wyatt's illness was much, much, much more serious than we thought, and it is not a mental issue. It was an actual physical illness, and from what we're being told, was not only career-threatening, but was life-threatening. Now, there's not a ton of life-threatening illnesses you can have. They didn't say a disease. They said an illness. So disease, you can wipe out anything to do with, you know, heart-related or cancerous or even COVID or whatever. You can pretty much wipe that out because that's a disease. They said an illness. Illness, the only thing I can think of is sepsis, and that's exactly – I suffered about a sepsis a couple of years back. Come from a undiagnosed infection that had gotten out of hand. And it was an ordeal. Now, it didn't take me this long. Took me a couple of months, though, before I even felt good enough to stand up on my own. So that would be the most likely thing I could think of. I was told that was life-threatening, and certainly, I don't know about career-threatening, though, because if it doesn't kill you, you can certainly bounce back. I'm 100%. So maybe it's not even that. They're keeping it very hush-hush what this is. But it's nothing that's going to prevent him from coming back. So it can't be heart-related or anything that's too severe. The WWE would just say, I'm sorry, you can't. From what I'm hearing, he's probably coming back at Payback. So we're not even really sure what the Bray Wyatt illness is, but this is a very, very serious thing. You know, we're going through this era now where in sports, all sports, not just wrestling, in all sports, it seems like the athletes are much more susceptible to injury. Think about it. I mean, in baseball, we had Cal Ripken, who played how many games in a row? Season after season after season after season, he never took one day off. That's a record that's never going to be broken because they won't even allow that to happen now. Nowadays, if you have your pinky nail breaks or you have too bad of a cuticle, it's, well, I'm going to need a few days. Nowadays, if somebody dives for the ball, it's, well, I've strained a hamstring or I've bruised an elbow or I've done something and I'll be out for 3 weeks. It seems like everybody's getting much more fragile. Now, I don't think in wrestling it has to do with anything as far as the sport becoming more violent, because if anything, it's become less violent. If anything, it's become more controlled. People are working a lot lighter, supposedly, a lot lighter than they did in the past. And in the past, this just did not happen that often. You didn't have half a roster out. So it makes me wonder exactly what's going on, but the WWE certainly has their share of injuries. Now, the Big E thing, you know, we don't know. From what we're hearing, some doctors have told him he should not wrestle anymore. They're always going to say that when you break your neck, though. Let's not be overly dramatic. Anytime you break your neck, a doctor's going to say, yeah, it's probably not a good idea that after your neck heals, you go right back to what broke it. Now, there's going to be some doctors that as Big E goes through, you know, more and more physical activity, are going to say, well, you know, it's possible you can do stuff. You just have to be more careful. You have to understand the risks. The same thing they said to Edge, the same thing they said to Paige, the same thing they said to several people who came back. So let's not totally write Big E off yet. Still relatively young. Randy Orton also seems to be of the mindset that he can wrestle, at least limited. But Orton is a little bit of a different story because Orton's getting older. And Orton's going to have to make that decision, how much more can I really do anyway? Do I have anything at all left to prove? And what is it that I want to accomplish? Now, I can see him coming back and maybe doing a short run, but then again, we don't know. You know, Sheamus had his trouble. He came back. He's doing anything but a short run, and he's doing anything but being careful. As a matter of fact, he's got stiffer. So a lot of this is up in the air, but Mike, this is an awful, awful lot of injuries in one shot for the WWE.
When you've got people like, we know how notorious The Miz is, because he works light, right? He's notorious.
Yeah.
You got two different sides of the coin. You got Sheamus and Gunther, who we know what they, and to some extent Drew McIntyre, who we know what they can do, who we know what they do, and you got The Miz, right? And so, and even The Miz at this stage of his career has had his injuries. Now he's had fewer injuries because he works so light, but he has had his injuries, you know. And the fact of the matter is we don't know. They're tough now. What's the name of the doggone company now that owns the WWE? They're talking about
Endeavor.
Not WWE themselves, but the company that owns the WWE are talking about not allowing Big E to wrestle. So if they're talking about it, they're taking. They're gonna take. It sounds like they're gonna take the they're going to take the decision away from the WWE and from Big E. You know, so...
Well, if
so
they do that, Mike, they're going to have to justify it if they let Randy Orton back. They're going to have to justify that. We live in an age, well, let's just be brutally honest. We live in an age where if Big E wants to go to a doctor and that's going to clear him, he'll find a doctor that's going to clear him. Simple as that. Hate to say it, but it's the truth. If Big E goes to enough doctors, he'll find one that says, yeah, well, whatever, you can do it if you want. I'll clear you. Then it'll be hard for Endeavor to really say anything if a doctor says, well, I don't know. I cleared him. So right now it's up in the air, but I'm glad you brought up Endeavor because now that the WWE has merged with Endeavor and there's a new board of directors, they've announced pretty much everybody that's on the board of directors, and guess who no longer is? Triple H. Now, he's supposedly still head of creative, but if he's not on the board of directors, that is a very, very big occurrence. That's a lot of power being taken away. Name is not mentioned. There are people who, there's still a couple of people to be appointed, but from what I'm hearing, he's not going to be one of them. Now, officially, they're going to say, well, he's going to concentrate on the creative and making the show as good as possible, but that, you can take this however you want to take it. This is not, that's not bode well for Triple H. Seems like Vince McMahon and company have slowly just took it back, and maybe there's some sort of hard feelings or something because, wow, you don't put him on the board, huh? Now, there could be potentially a reason for this. And the potential reason is that what we're hearing is that Endeavor has put some pressure on WWE to once again not use NXT as a training facility type thing, but to actually be a third brand that's going to tour and have their own premium live events and all this stuff. And Endeavor wants that. And if Endeavor wants that, well, then possibly Triple H is going to have his hands full with that as well, which would make a lot of his duties, you know, overriding one another and then and make it a little harder for him to do everything. So perhaps that's the reason. But if that's not the reason, Todd, you know, that's kind of a demotion for Triple H.
Well, you're absolutely right, Gail. Like you said, the WWE don't know how to make up their minds what they're going to do with NXT and everything. One minute, you're going to tour, go to different places. Next minute, you're not going to tour. You're going to be a district principal. It's like a back and forth thing. Touring or a training brand. They don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, they're having trouble really figuring this out. And I got news for you. NXT delivers every week. NXT is a good show. But if you're going to tour, and I mean seriously tour, and not just say, oh, we're going to do 6 dates on the East Coast. If you're actually going to tour, where you say we're going to do 40 shows in various states, you need more star power. You need a lot more star power than you have. Because the people you have currently, they're not going to draw huge. They're just not. I'm sorry. They're just not. Now, you got Dominic and Rhea down there doing what they do, and that's they're trying to help the ratings there. And once in a while, they'll throw in some other people. I know we had the Bloodline down there once, and we had some other people come and go. But I'm not talking about special guest appearances. If you want to make them a viable third brand, then they almost have to merge. They almost have to merge with WWE and say, look, we're equal now. And so we're going to have some people. We're going to have Shinsuke Nakamura, or we're going to have a Kevin Owens, or we're going to have somebody who might work well down there, Finn Balor. We're going to have those guys, permanently have them for the foreseeable future. Not just a guest appearance, actually have them on the roster to tour. Because if you don't, I just don't see it. I don't see you drawing large numbers. Now, I don't know what kind of size venues you're going to have. But around here, I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to sell out the Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, and that's probably 1,800 seats. And you'd be lucky to sell it out. So, Mike, if they're going to actually do this and be a touring third brand, I think they need to split up the rosters a little bit and really concentrate on getting some names down there that could potentially draw.
Absolutely. And this could, I mean, look, and correct me if I'm wrong, Marcus, Shawn Michaels doing some booking down, some booking down in NXT?
Yes.
So Triple H is going to have some help with NXT booking if Shawn Michaels is down there. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot on his plate to do this stuff. Now, that wouldn't stop them from, say, putting, I don't know, Stephanie McMahon on the board of directors. She's doing nothing right now, you know.
Right.
Literally nothing. So just because they don't put Triple H don't mean they're not going to put somebody like Stephanie on there. Okay, but that's neither here nor there. We'll see what happens. I mean, the booking has been spotty at best, and the booking has been all right down in NXT. Now, granted, this could be a good chance of them possibly running sort of an invasion angle with NXT.
Yeah, I mean, anything that's going to help, if you're going to draw and you're going to actually tour, then you're going to need something. Now, I have the list. This is the list of 10 board members, and there's only going to be one more selected by WWE. And I'm told it's not going to be Triple H. So here are the board members with only one more to be chosen: Vince McMahon, Ari Emanuel, Nick Khan, Mark Shapiro, David Koonin, Jonathan A. Kraft, Egon Durham, Nancy Tellium, Terry Wheeler, and Sonia Medina. That's it. Find it very hard to believe that the next name on this list is even going to be one we recognize. Although the WWE does have the option to call that 10th one. So we'll see what ends up happening. 11th one, I should say. Now, I had said it's going to be Triple H, but every single contact I have says it's not Triple H. He's not going on the board. So is it going to be Stephanie? I don't know. The very fact that it's the last one chosen seems to me like it'll probably be a name that we're like, who? You know, that your common fan really probably has never heard of. So that'll be very interesting. Here's something else interesting. This, again, is just speculation. But if Bray Wyatt is to come back at Payback, which a lot of people are saying this is what they're waiting for, is the Payback pay-per-view, there has been some rumblings and some leaks that Eric Rowan is close to signing with the WWE. There is no doubt in my mind that if Eric Rowan signs with the WWE, he is going to be in the Bray Wyatt angle. There is no reason at all to sign Eric Rowan. None. Zero. Putting him with Bray Wyatt. He's been gone for I don't know how long. You've not speculated on bringing him back for any particular reason. And now all of a sudden the talks are back. And now all of a sudden there's a little leak saying, well, it's close to a deal. It's close to a deal. Okay, well, he's not coming back on his own. He's not coming back to being Eric Rowan and just skulking around chasing a spider in a box. Pretty sure that would be a Bray Wyatt member, which means that the talk with Bray Wyatt now has probably gotten into, we're going to start a faction. We're not going to do this whole other nonsense about four different Bray Wyatts and split personality thing. Look like it might go back to the cult leader, Bray Wyatt. Now, he still may have Bo Dallas with him. But that would indicate to me that they're going to try to use Bray Wyatt more like the old Bray Wyatt, Mike, and not the newer version we saw.
Right, and that's the thing. Now, granted, if he's coming back and Bo's coming back, and we know at one point they were talking. Now, this is before she got pregnant, but Alexa Bliss was going to be in that group or was going to be with Bo, somehow be with Bray Wyatt, I mean. And we know they were doing something with Nikki Cross, which has kind of been put on the back burner. But I'm just trying to spitball. If it's going to be Eric Rowan and Bray Wyatt and possibly Bo Dallas, who else might be in with them? I mean, what are they doing with their Braun Strowman right now? Nothing.
Right. Well, he's hurt right now, but he's on the verge of coming back. Now, he's done some tweets saying can't wait to get back with Ricochet and stuff, but who knows? Who knows? That could all just be a swerve. He would make sense. You know, Bray Wyatt's had some very bad luck. He came back, and the original plan was it was going to be Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas, Eric Young, and Alexa Bliss. That was going to be the group. Alexa Bliss got pregnant, so she's out of the storyline. Eric Young, when Vince McMahon came back, threw a hissy fit and said, I'm not working for Vince McMahon. So that he's out of the picture. So here's what we do have to understand. While we were busting on people saying, well, the Bray Wyatt storyline's taken forever and it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere partially because everybody keeps bailing. Pretty hard when you got the storyline written and then Alexa Bliss says, I'm pregnant, I'm out. Okay, well, then we have to rewrite that, don't we? All right, well, we'll just bring in maybe Nikki Cross and Eric Young. They'll have some connection, so that'll be good. Oh, Eric Young's quitting? Well, I guess we're not doing that. See what I mean? So there was a lot of this we don't know what to do involving Bray Wyatt. And that's potentially why maybe they're looking at Eric Rowan. Because they're figuring, well, what is it that we do? Okay, we have Bo Dallas. That's not enough. We're going to need at least one more. Eric Rowan would be the third one. That's originally how Bray Wyatt came in, with two guys. Now, Braun Strowman, to me, Braun Strowman's career is going absolutely nowhere. The problem, though, with Braun Strowman is this. The way he looks now and the way he acts now, he doesn't fit with Bray Wyatt. Braun Strowman went from looking like a giant, crazed, psychopathic hillbilly that you would not want to meet in the mountains of Louisiana to a gym rat. And I don't see a gym rat being in Bray Wyatt's stable. So maybe he's taking this time and maybe they've told him, well, you know, try to put on some weight and we'll change a little stuff about you. I don't know. Or maybe they're just going to leave him totally out of this. Maybe they just figure this is best not to be put in. But either way, it looks like, Todd, we may see him back in September at Payback.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Gail. Like you said, with this.
Go ahead.
You're absolutely right. Like you said, with Braun Strowman here, he needs to put the weight back on to be the old Braun Strowman, not this muscle gym gimmick thingy. Didn't look right on him before.
Well, that's the thing, but I just don't think that's going to be what they do. I think they've just they've almost given up on Braun Strowman. I mean, my God, they put him with Ricochet in a tag team. This is a guy who was the monster among men. He was the dude for a while, and now he's Ricochet's tag team partner, Mike.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, what they should tell Braun Strowman, look, I know you got in shape and you did this and did that, but at this way you look right now, we really have nothing for you. Yeah, we could put you back with Ricochet and do this tag team bit, but where do you expect that thing? How how long, the question they should ask him is, how long do you expect to be in this tag team, Braun? You know, Adam Scherr, Braun Strowman, whatever. How long do you expect to be in? If he says not long, then what they should tell him is this. You're going to go away for a while, and we're going to have you gain some weight, get you back to where you were before, and we're going to put you back with Bray Wyatt, because that would make sense, you know? And if he says no, then fine. He now,
well, I don't think at this stage Braun Strowman can say no to much. I don't think he has much veto power at this point. I think Braun Strowman's lucky to have a job in the WWE, to be quite honest with you. So I don't think he has a ton of veto power. But will fans accept it? See, this is the thing I'm most worried about. Are fans going to accept that Braun Strowman, who now has all of that mystique and darkness and whatever, just totally stripped from him? It's like your typical gym rat guy. Are they going to accept he goes back to being that? They would really have to work their magic. I don't think he can come back with him. I think he could be recruited in the sense that Braun Strowman starts to act funny again when Bray Wyatt's back, and then slowly we see a little transition back to what you might call, you know, Bray Wyatt's mind control over him, and then we might accept it. But I think him just walking out now with him, I don't think it would work. Could be wrong, but I don't think it would work. Have a little AEW news. Their 200th episode lost viewers. They were actually down from their 199th episode. So your big 200th episode actually lost viewers. I don't know what to say about this. I really don't, because on one side, you're about to set an attendance record in the UK. No doubt about that you're going to set an attendance record. On the other hand, your TV ratings here are very, very suspect. Very suspect. You know, and I don't care how many people say, oh, well, it's not that important. Yeah, it actually is important. Why do you think Endeavor wants to make NXT a viable brand again? Because then their television ratings will go up, and so will the price that they are able to charge for the airtime. It's extraordinarily important. Especially to your sponsors, the people paying, technically it's a TV company, but they're paying through the sponsors. And I don't know why AEW can't keep their audience. I just don't know. If this is it, if this is all you have, and you say, look, this is the way we're always going to be. We're going to be between 800 and 900,000. Once in a blue moon, when there's something really special going on, we'll maybe come close to sniffing a million. Okay. But then stop the nonsense of we are the top federation, we are the elite. No, you're not. You're strong indie. That would be like NXT saying, well, I don't know. We're the number one organization. Because, listen, in our time slot, on our day, on that network, they're just delighted with our ratings. Okay, but you're not that. And until you can break a million, you're never going to be that. Otherwise, Endeavor wouldn't be barking up that tree saying, what can we do to make NXT draw a million plus so we can get more revenue for the TV time? That Tony Khan may not care about it, I don't know. But I'm sure the network does. If I'm the head of the network, or I'm in charge of programming, my job is to say, why is your ratings after 3 years stagnant? You would think you'd be drawing more, not less. We could understand if you were drawing 600,000, 500,000, and 700,000 the first year, where people are getting used to you. But now you've had the same time slot. You've had a chance to grow. You've had a chance to have more people aware that you're here. Still not growing. See, that's what they want to see is growth. If the USA Network says, well, you know, the WWE is drawing about 1.5 million, And then you start drawing $1.6 million in the coming month, and then $1.7 million. Oh, okay. Now they're not going to give up on you if you have a bad 6 months. They can't. You're under contract, but you're going to hear it. You're going to hear what's going on. How many times have we reported on this show that USA Network or Fox has said, well, we want this person on the show, we want that person on the show, because the ratings have declined a little bit. Haven't even declined that much. Goes down a few hundred thousand people and the panic button's hit. AEW has virtually remained unchanged for 3 straight years. And at some point, Tom, I think they're going to have to address this issue.
I'm actually surprised they haven't addressed it at this point, because honestly, I think that the AEW started off pretty strong for a strong indie federation. They're nowhere near the top federation, not even close. Not even close to NXT at that point. But to remain stagnant for 3 years, I think, and to be honest with you, I think AEW lost it when CM Punk was signed the first time and Cody left. I think they lost their some of their audience that way, because a lot of people that were following it, you know, don't particularly care for CM Punk, but they loved Cody, and I think that when Cody left, those fans came over to the WWE. They've expanded their shows. They got 3 shows. And they're still not drawing.
Right.
Wait until NBA starts up again. You know, there's plenty of NBA fans.
Yeah, well, you hit on something. I don't think they've lost fans, because it's the same amount. The ratings are the same. So I don't think they've actually lost fans, but I think you've hit on something, and that is now that they have 3 shows, I think there are a lot of fans who are saying, nah, I'm not going to watch tonight. I'll catch it. I'll catch the match I want to see on YouTube. I'll catch the match I want to see on some other platform. I don't need to tune into that network. And that doesn't sound like a big deal in this age where you can do those type of things, but it is a big deal because they don't get any revenue for that. Sponsors want to put an ad on a network. They say, how much does this show draw? How many eyes are going to see our ad? And if they say, well, look, I mean, maybe only 700,000, but millions watch on different platforms or DVR it, they're going to say, yeah, well, screw that. We don't care. They're just going to fast forward through the commercials, or the commercial ain't going to be there on other platforms. That doesn't help us any. We want to know how many eyes are going to watch our ad, or potentially at least watch our ad. So, and again, if you say, well, you know, comparatively speaking, they're still the number one show there. Yeah, of course. They're a big fish in a small pond. But a big fish in a small pond is not the same thing as a big fish in a big pond. So this is something that Tony Khan has to address. It's not like this is a fledgling company. You are now 3 years plus. And there is no excuse for you not being able to draw a million viewers. There just isn't, on a regular basis. And I don't think I've ever seen a show that's so dramatically down. I mean, the WWE will be down 200,000 viewers, and so will maybe the AEW. But when WWE is down 200,000 viewers, that's a smaller percentage than when AEW is down. In other words, if you have a TV show and you have 1 million viewers, and one day it says, well, you only have 995,996. That means you lost 4 viewers. If I have a TV show and I got 10 viewers and I lost 4, I've lost 40% of my audience. See, that's where the difference is. It's in the percentage. If you lose 200,000 and you only draw 800,000, you've lost 25% of your audience. If the WWE lost 25% of its audience, you would be talking somewhere in the neighborhood of 500,000 people. So that's why it's not exactly the same, Mike.
It isn't exactly the same. And just remember this. You know, we're talking about, well, what's going to happen when the NBA or in the case of the other show, the NHL starts back up again. But remember this. There was a time when the WWE, in the heat of the Attitude Era, was having to deal with them pulling them off because of some freaking dog show. Remember that? And they were still doing ratings. WWE was still, at the time, doing 2+ million in ratings, right? Maybe more than that at that time. And they still got pulled off. And the WWE got tired of it, and when the contract came up again, they made that point to tell, look, we're getting these ratings, but you keep pulling us off for the doggone dog show. Make a deal. Make your choice. And NBC Universal made his choice. They chose the WWE. All right. That's what's going to have to happen. Now, granted, they're going to have to increase their ratings. Just like I think a better example is of what we're talking about is, you know, NXT. You know, is hovering right about that 600,000-700,000. People rate 500,000-600,000 people rating. They're gonna have to increase their ratings if they're gonna do what they're talking about doing. They're gonna have to increase their ratings, or else they're gonna be shut down by this group, right? So if NXT doesn't find a way to increase their ratings, that's exactly what's gonna happen. They're gonna be shut down.
Well, if they don't get the thing that's going to happen, I think, is that their TV deal is just not going to be worth that much. Now, they just were given a huge amount of money, more than they deserved. But at some point, when you're giving people that kind of money, you expect something in return. And if it turns out that the revenue coming in is less than the money going out, they're going to have to justify it, right? You can't give somebody $1 billion and then say, well, we made $350 million. Okay, well, you've lost your shirt. You've lost your goddamn shirt. And somebody's head's going to roll. See, that's the thing. This is a business at the end of the day. And if someone bets on something and says, well, we think we can wrap up a deal with them for 5 years for billions of dollars or whatever, and you say, okay, go for it, and then you're not making any money. The person who made that deal, they're in trouble. Person's head's on the chopping block because they're going to say, well, you've cost this company a lot of money. You made a very poor decision. You promised us X, Y, and Z. It's not delivering. Now, the thing is, you have to ask yourself why. If they can draw the amount of people that they're about to draw in a live event, there has to be a reason why people are not tuning in to actually see the program week after week. You need to make some changes within your programming. Absolutely need to make some changes. You need to hire somebody who really knows how to get this done right, because obviously you're not. Now, on to some other news. If you want to feel old, the little girl who was the Bayley superfan in NXT, name is Izzy, is making her in-ring debut this week for an indie federation. Can you imagine? I mean, I don't know how old she was when she was, Bayley's super fan. She didn't look very old. And now she's making her in-ring debut. So, wow. Kind of interesting. Also, I should add that one name we left out of this injured list, and the only reason I left him out is because it's kind of irrelevant considering he's not going to be around for a while anyway, is Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was reportedly injured at SummerSlam very early in the match. And to his credit, and I don't think Brock Lesnar gets enough credit, I know Brock Lesnar marks a lot of people out. And they say, oh, Brock Lesnar, he thinks he's such a badass, and I hate him, and he doesn't like fans, and he's mean, and he's this, and I don't like him. I get it. But I think he marks a lot of you out. He is way, way, way better professional wrestler than you think he is, or that a lot of you give him credit for. I know sometimes he does short matches. I know he's a part-timer and barely shows up. I know all of those things. I also know that I've watched wrestling a very, very long time, and I can pinpoint injuries, whether they sell them or not, about the minute it happens. And I watched that entire match, and I still don't know where Brock Lesnar got injured. He didn't act like an injured man. He didn't, if it was early in the match, he sure as hell didn't give up. He sure as hell didn't call for an early ending. And even after the match was over, with the handshake and the hug and the walking back to the dressing room, he showed no signs of being injured. None. Didn't tell the referee, cut it short. Didn't tell Cody Rhodes, I'm injured, let's, go home with this quickly. Didn't do any of that stuff. So Brock Lesnar's legit injured, and we don't know the extent of his injury. He hasn't really said. It's amazing, Tom, because I didn't see any indication of anything like that.
Yeah, I didn't either. And if he was, then he did a good job of hiding it. I mean, you would think they would have cut it short if he was that badly injured. I think it's a work. I think this is probably a way to bring him back for Gunther. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think it's a work, and I'll tell you why I don't think it's a work, because it's irrelevant. If it was a work, you'd say, okay, Brock Lesnar's injured, and that's why he's not going to be at this show or this show. They've already said he's not going to be around for a while. He's taking some time off. So the injury doesn't mean anything. So I don't think it's a work. I think it's legit. I just think that Brock Lesnar, probably from his years in UFC, has learned to hide his injuries pretty well, Mike.
I think so, too. This is a guy that, look, he is the beast. He is the beast incarnate. He's a machine. So, I mean, that's one of the big, that's one of his big deals, is that he's just a machine. And he's a cyborg. He doesn't get hurt. I mean, yeah, he gets hurt, but he doesn't show that he's hurt, right? And that's the thing. This is a guy, yeah, he may sweat profusely and his, all the things that type of guy does that shows he's making an effort, but he doesn't show he's injured a lot. That's my point. That's a part of his deal. That's a part of his shtick, is that he doesn't get injured, or he gets injured very few times,
And you got to understand that if you're in the UFC and you're fighting in a legit fight and you're injured, if you can keep a poker face, because if you get injured and it's obvious, your opponent's going for blood. That's the way it is in MMA, in UFC. So he's probably gotten used to just poker face, cover it up, don't say much, just go with the flow. I don't know. We're supposed to see Brock Lesnar again maybe in 3 or 4 months from what I'm hearing. I don't think you're going to see him until then. Some WrestleMania plans, however, have been revealed, and I really thought, in all honesty, they were still going to try to get The Rock, but apparently from what I'm being told, what's on the table now is Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns Part 2. And I would imagine this is where Cody Rhodes, quote-unquote, finishes his story. I don't like it. I don't like it. Don't see – I just don't see that Cody Rhodes on a regular basis is interesting enough to be the champion, the guy. Yeah, he can go on the talk shows and do all that stuff. He's very articulate. He's very smart. He makes a good presentation. All that stuff he does. But I don't know if he can hold the fans' interest through feud after feud after feud with who. That's the thing. He's already beat everybody on the roster, except Roman Reigns. So who's the feuds? Who's his opponents? That's something that the WWE is going to have to work out, like right now. If you plan on giving Cody Rhodes the title, you better have some top heel contenders. I don't see any. And right now, Gunther's got a title. So I'd like to see them think about this a little bit. I know it's hard. I don't know who else Roman Reigns is going to fight either, because the WWE's done a bad job there, too. They've built nobody up. So it'll be hard. But it looks like The Rock is out. So what I'm hearing is going to be Cody Rhodes. Also, we want to congratulate Buddy Matthews and Rhea Ripley. They are engaged now, officially. And Nia Jax reportedly on her way back to the WWE. That'll be interesting. If Nia Jax comes back to the WWE, my thought process is she's going to come back as a face, and she's going to come back to face Rhea Ripley, because that would seem logical. So, Tom, there's a few things to discuss. We got Rhea Ripley being engaged. We got Nia Jax coming back. Women's division looks like it's going to get interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not that big of a fan of Nia Jax. Hopefully she steps up her, her in-ring, prowess. What I would like to see, I would definitely like to see her versus Rhea. That would be something. That would be a big return. That would be a reason for her to return. Where Rhea says, I've beaten everybody, blah, 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 out comes Nia Jax. That would be cool. As far as like Buddy Matthews and Rhea getting engaged, that's awesome. As a fan of the drama, it would be super cool if Buddy Matthews, say hypothetically, came back to the WWE and they somehow incorporated him as like the jealous one for her attention towards
him. You know, it's interesting. This is how much the WWE's changed. When Lana and Rusev got married, or was it their anniversary? They got married. I think they got married. Vince McMahon blew his top when TMZ reported it and canceled all the storylines. Remember they had a storyline where him and Summer Rae was kind of an item, and Lana had went with Dolph Ziggler, and there was going to be some feuding and all kinds of stuff was going on. And all of a sudden, Vince McMahon's like, well, that's done, because now everybody knows that you're a couple. And I'm pissed off about it, and you've ruined the storyline, so screw it. He was mad. He was legit mad at Rusev and Lana. I don't see anybody being mad at Rhea Ripley, Buddy Matthews. And this kind of kills Dominic's angle, right? I mean, if that's supposed to be her guy, well, it's the same exact thing, Todd, so I don't know why they're not mad at them.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the last time we saw that when Rusev and Lana got married, that was not supposed to happen. It was supposed to be kept secret between the two, and just continue the that storyline with Rusev with Summer Rae and Lana with Dolph Ziggler, and they should have leave it at that.
The thing was that Vince McMahon became furious, Mike, and canceled all those angles and the matches. And Summer Rae had said on a show she wasn't even aware of it. She got to an arena one day and said, you're not in this angle anymore. Vince has canceled the whole thing because of it. So a lot has changed, because apparently nobody's mad at Rhea.
Nobody's mad at Rhea. I mean, even I don't think Dominic's mad at her, And that's the angle. Dominic, I mean, she's basically a dominatrix, right? And he's the one dominated. He's the submissive. So, there's that, and we'll see what goes on. And we know what's going on in AEW right now. There are a lot of people that just aren't happy there. And some of them are former WWE stars, so we'll see what happens with that. And don't count out that angle that Todd brought up. It can't happen, because it can actually happen at some point. Point I don't know, because absolutely Buddy Matthews would have to be fired or let go or whatever, so he could return to the WWE and all that stuff. But we'll see what happens with that. I know one thing. I know that Lana seems to think that both she and Rusev are going to be back in the WWE relatively soon. So we'll see what happens with that. you know. But
what I'd like to see, I mean, if you're going to do the thing with Buddy Murphy, it would be hilarious if you could get Rey Mysterio's daughter back in on it, where it's like, oh, well, they're back having a relationship, except that Buddy Murphy and Rey's daughter are the good guys, and they're kind of going against Rhea Ripley and Dominic, who are the bad guys. That would be funny, because you kind of know the truth, but it would be like, well, how ironic is that? You know, that's just bizarre irony. And at some point you could maybe just, you know, let Buddy Murphy go ahead and take Rhea away from Dominic, and then you have Dominic back. At this stage I wouldn't make Dominic a face anytime soon, because he's got so much heat, but at some point that heat will die down, and maybe you could do it. I mean, it's worth discussing at least, Mike.
It really is, and that's the thing. I mean, and apparently, from what I understand, Aaliyah Mysterio is training to be a wrestler. So you could absolutely, at some point, just like this little girl you said earlier, she's about to make her in-ring debut. At some point, Aaliyah Mysterio is going to make her in-ring debut someplace, and probably going to be for the WWE. Probably, because Rey's there.
Or at least NXT. At least NXT. But could you imagine, because if you remember, the last angle we saw Dominic with as a face was he was very upset at Rey. He was upset at Rey because he said, you're treating Buddy Murphy more like a son than you're treating me. And, you know, he's with my sister and I don't like him. And, boy, that would be a very interesting thing. I wouldn't mind seeing that, Todd, if they could swing that.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when Buddy Murphy was in the WWE doing that angle with Rey Mysterio and Aaliyah Mysterio, Dominic right there kind of doing like a heelish little spot, a heelish jealousy thing there with Buddy Matthews and Aaliyah Mysterio.
Would be a lot of fun. It would be a lot of fun because, I mean, then you could get Rey to say, hey, you know, Dominic, remember when you said that I was treating him more like a son than you? Well, turns out he actually is more of a son than you turned out to be, because you're a traitor and he's not. I mean, there would be so much irony there that I think fans would actually kind of enjoy that. I know I would. I think it would be fun. Plus, I've always liked Buddy Murphy. I said from the very beginning, I think it was a mistake to let him go. He's a good worker. He's decent on the mic. You know, there's a good upside to him. Plus, keeps Rhea Ripley happy, right? Because they're about to be married. Now, he's signed, obviously, to AEW, but he's not signed for a long period of time, I don't think. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. That could be interesting, Tom, to imagine. I mean, if you're ever going to pull off anything where the Mysterio drama gets even more convoluted like a soap opera, what better than to have the guy that Dominic said Rey treated more like a son come back to be his sister's, you know, boyfriend and battle Rhea and him?
Yeah, for sure. I would definitely enjoy that. And it also hooks a certain segment of the audience that digs that kind of drama, because look how high the ratings were when, you know, back in the day when it was a real thing with Lita and Edge and Matt Hardy. Look how many people were hooked when they turned it into an angle. If they turn that into an angle, that would be a lot of fun. And especially with the way you spend it, it would be cool.
Definitely be cool. And if you remember, when they were going through this whole Mysterio drama with the family, it was getting good ratings. I don't know why they chose to end it. I think they chose to end it because Buddy Murphy, age difference between him and Aaliyah, where it was a little too high for some people. Well, he's older than Rhea Ripley, too. I just think that was so overblown because it's not even true. Who cares? Who actually cares? So we'll see. Maybe they'll end up doing something like that. Could be a lot of fun. I think the main gist, though, is we have got to figure out what is happening with all this rash of injuries. As we said in the beginning of the show, this is an extreme amount. And yes, AEW suffers it too, and yes, Impact suffers it too, but not at this rate. The WWE has a whole roster full of people injured. I mean, it's 10, 12, 14 people. That's a lot of people. At some point, you have to ask yourself, what the hell is going on? Especially with people who are repeat injured time and time again, like Liv Morgan. Now, Liv Morgan posted a clip of a very large portion of hair on the floor. And my thought process is she's cut her hair short, or at least shorter. It seemed like there was a lot of hair there. And we may be seeing some sort of a different image of Liv Morgan when she comes back, Mike. Wouldn't be a bad idea because these so far have kind of fell flat. I don't know if we got Mike there. Let me go to Tom. Tom, what do you think about the possible gimmick change or at least look change of Liv Morgan?
Well, if they change her look, I'm hoping if they're changing her look and she's teasing it that they're changing her look, that they're changing her to a heel. And what would be something is if she changes to a heel and her first person she goes after or addresses rather is Raquel Rodriguez. As in she
Yeah, that would have to be, I mean, I would book that as that's the reason Raquel Rodriguez does not win the championship from Rhea Ripley, is that Liv Morgan comes back and interferes. That would be my booking anyway, Mike. But, yeah, a gimmick change for her might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, it might not be a bad idea. And really, they should have been thinking about it for a while now, a gimmick change for her. I mean, look. Her best gimmick that I can recall was when she was doing that Harley Quinn-ish thing,
yeah.
Right? You don't know
yep.
if she's crazy or not, and she looks like her and all that stuff. And, I mean, they didn't really do too much with that. And to tell you the truth, they should have, you know. So, yeah, if this a changing gimmick, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it can't hurt. I think it can't hurt because they've been all over the place with her. First, they were doing that stuff where she was in the bathtub, remember, and they were like she was going to be a model or some kind of sex symbol thing. And then they nixed that, and they went with a determined young athlete who was trying to, you know, overcome the odds, and they went with that. And then they went back to crazy. Then they went to hardcore, remember? Hardcore Liv Morgan. She does all these crazy things, and now they don't know what to do with it. They're all over the place. So hopefully if they find one this time, it's one that sticks. Anyway, folks, that's your weekly wrap-up. We'll be back here on Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.